I'd like to suggest to you this morning that the greatest tool in the toolbox of a Christian is the tool called prayer. It is probably the most effective implement in the life of serving Jesus Christ. Got a couple of adjectives, some attributes of prayer as a tool. First of all, it's cordless. It means you can take it anywhere. You don't have to be by an outlet for it to work. Take it anywhere you want and it's going to work. And unlike some cordless tools where the battery runs down quickly, this thing is self-charging. It always, always has power, sufficient power to accomplish the job. Not only that, it has so many attachments that are available to it, it can be used for anything. There's not one job that it's not capable of accomplishing. And what's really, really nice about it comes in a very efficient and attractive, even, carrying case so that you can take it with you wherever you go. And it's just a great, 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 great thing. And many, I was checking on Amazon.com just this morning to see product reviews of the thing, and under the tool section they had product reviews of this, and most people gave it a 5-star rating. But I did notice that there were a couple of people that wrote in there, "This thing doesn't work," and it got a 0. And I said to myself, how can it be that people are giving it 5 stars as to its effectiveness and other people say 0 things? And I often wondered how any product on Amazon or any other internet sales site, that when you get those product reviews, how it can be so different. The instructions were difficult. Easy to put together. I'm going, wait a minute. That only tells me that the person doing this had a problem. And I said to myself, the person who would write in and say that it doesn't work for me has a problem. So, I went to the instruction manual. And I said, why is it that this doesn't work for some people? Well, let's look at the instruction manual, if you would, with me this morning. It's found in Mark chapter 11. And beginning at verse 12. Now, if you're saying, wait a minute, last week we finished Mark chapter 10, and you're skipping the first 11 verses of Mark chapter 11, what's going on here? Well, that deals with what we call the triumphal entry of Christ that takes place on Palm Sunday. And back in the spring of this year, on Palm Sunday, I preached through Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. So I'm not going to do that again this morning. No repetition here. No repetition here. So we will start on verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Now understand, Jesus came into Jerusalem on the day of the triumphal entry, or Palm Sunday, if you will. In the evening, he went back to Bethany, probably staying with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But now the next day, he's coming back into Jerusalem. And it's early in the morning, and he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now you might look at that and say, well, wow, that's rather rough. Here's a tree, and it's not even time for it to be producing fruit. But because it has no fruit on it, he curses the tree. And by the way, you understand verse 14, this curse means it's going to die. That's rather rough, isn't it? Well, how do we understand what Jesus is doing? This fig tree is a type of a tree that in its normal progression of things, the fruit would first appear and afterwards the leaves. Now remember, it's early spring. More than likely, That's why it wasn't the time of the figs yet. That's why there shouldn't have been fruit on it. But it had leaves. By the appearance of leaves, the tree is making a profession that it has something to offer man. It should have fruit on it. Therefore, it should be beneficial. It should be accomplishing the purposes that God intended it to accomplish. No fruit. Just mere profession. Now, probably what had happened, the fruit was picked the year before, during the time of the figs, and consequently, usually when that happens, then come fall, the leaves fall off. But some of these leaves remained. It held on to its profession, but no fruit. And consequently, because of this, Jesus is cursing this tree. He's not interested in how things look. He's interested in what things do. And this, here's a tree that's making a profession, but it's not living up to it. Now, he's going to use that as an object lesson. And when they come to Jerusalem, verse 15 says, "And Jesus went into the temple. He began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine." Now he comes in there. By the way, this is the second time that Jesus is cleansing the temple. In his first year of earthly ministry, he came to Jerusalem and cleansed the temple. 3 years now has gone by, and he's doing the same thing. Well, what's going on here? What's the problem? Actually, those that were doing this in the temple thought they were doing a good thing. You understand that this is the week leading up to the Passover. Jesus is going to be the Passover lamb, so we're just a few days away from Passover. Passover was one of the festivals that was required for the males to come to Jerusalem to celebrate. And in the celebration of the Passover, it was required that every man would have a lamb for his family. Well, if you're out in the outer reaches of the Roman kingdom and you're coming to Jerusalem, probably you're not going to carry a lamb with you. That would be a little bit on the difficult side. So what they did is they said, well, we need to provide something that will be practical for these people. I'll tell you what, let's sell them lambs. That way they can leave their lambs at home, and when they get here, they'll have ease of travel. We'll sell them a lamb. They can celebrate the Passover. They can make this profession, and everything will look really, really good. Not only will it be practical for them, it'll be profitable for us. The price of a leg of lamb went through the roof Passover week. Here they are, they're selling and they're trading, they're trading monies in the temple, because if you're coming from some other part of the kingdom, you would have one set of currency, and now you're coming to Jerusalem, currency could be different, so we'll exchange your money for, it'll have a little ATM fee associated with it. Don't you hate those things? I want to go to the bank and get some cash, and of course you're not at your bank, so you go to some other ATM. And all I want was just a couple of dollars, and it cost me a couple of dollars to get a couple of dollars. That's what they were doing. So it was profitable for them. And certainly if it's practical for people and profitable for the temple, it's got to be pleasurable for God, right? And Jesus comes and says, wait a minute, guys. My house. Interestingly enough, I just saw this morning as I was going over my message. I never saw this before. Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Wait a minute, that was the house of God. You know what? Jesus is claiming deity in this. I never saw that before. for. Just this morning, I saw, I can't wait till the next time I have opportunity with those who deny the deity of Christ to ask them about this verse. Nonetheless, he said, my house, the purpose of it is it should be a house of prayer. But you have made it a practical thing, a profitable thing, but not the thing that God created it for. Just like that fig tree. You've got all kinds of profession going on here, but you're not doing what you're intended to do. And now they're looking how they might crucify Christ. Well, when verse 19 says, when the evening was come, he went out of the city, just like he did the day before. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Man, that was fast. In fact, it was so fast. Verse 21 says, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. If you had chopped the thing down with an axe, it would not have withered as fast as this thing has already withered. This is amazing. This is beyond human comprehension. It just doesn't naturally do this. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Here's reason number one why prayer sometimes fails. It's because the person does not have the faith of God. Literally, verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith of God. In other words, the faith that you see me exhibiting, emulate that. Now notice what he does not say. He does not say, have faith in yourself. I wish I had a dollar for every time I've heard someone say, you just have to believe in yourself. Do you know what? I have believed in myself. And I know just how easily I can fail. I don't want to believe in myself because I am imperfect. Thank you for your silence. But I have a God who is perfect, who never fails. He does not say, have faith in prayer. Let me ask you a question. Does prayer change things? No, it does not change things. God changes things. Prayer reaches the heart of God, but it's God that changes things, not prayer. Don't have faith in prayer. And I hear people saying sometimes, well, I'd pray publicly, but what if I say the wrong things? Well, what if you say the wrong things when you're praying privately? Does that change how prayer works? God knows what's in the heart. It's not the words that come out that make things happen. It's the God in heaven who understands that makes things happen. And not even have faith in your faith. Oh, I wish I had more faith. Do you know what? It is impossible to have more faith. Think about this for a minute. Define faith. Faith is the belief that God is going to do something. Either you believe it or you don't believe it. Right? It's an all or nothing thing. Well, I'm not sure. Well, then you don't believe it. That's how it works. We don't have to have faith in faith. We don't have to have faith in prayer. We don't have to have faith in self. We need to have faith in a God who works. A God who is capable of doing anything, no matter how, pardon the pun, unbelievable it may seem, in order that His will is accomplished. You want to have a good example of something that God can do? Well, He says here, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt. Well, now, hold the bus a second. Do you mean that I could go out and I could look at this hill out here? Now, this isn't a mountain, but I could look at this hill and I could say to this hill, boy, I wish it was flat out here. Be thou cast into the Kiskiminatis, and it would be all flatten out. If it was in the will of God. Yes. But I don't think that's in the will of God, do you? I have nowhere to find in Scripture that God wishes all the earth was flat. Especially this piece of ground out here. What are you saying here? And the mountain is being used as an example. Here is a person going from point A to point B, and a mountain is in between them. We're not talking a hill. We're not talking a big hill. We're talking a mountain. How many of you like hiking up over mountains? Boy, we got a lazy bunch of people around here. You don't mind coming down necessarily off the mountain, but no one wants to go up. That mountain presents an obstacle from you getting from point A to point B. It is an obstacle that keeps you from accomplishing the will of God. That's what he's talking about here. And if there's an obstacle in the path of you accomplishing the will of God, you can say, this needs to be taken out of my way. Let's see, does God want his will done? Yes, he does. And it'll be cast into the sea. That's what he's saying. If you are willing to trust a God who desires to have his will done, whatever is necessary to accomplishing that will, no matter how great it may be, like a mountain of problems, God can take care of them. He'll get his will done. When you therefore ask, and you're asking for the things that are found within the will of God, if you believe, just a matter of time till they take place. Now remember last week I noted that the Bartimaeus was crying out, and apparently Jesus heard him the very first time he cried out, but he didn't respond until the second or third or fourth time that he cried out. And sometimes there may be a gap of time between the first time you pray about something and when the answer comes. But the fact is, if you are praying for something within the will of God, the answer is sure. Then he says this, verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught anything against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Here's the second thing that keeps prayer from working, and that's not having the forgiveness of God. Man is only capable of approaching the throne of grace on the basis of God's forgiveness of sin. Back in the book of Isaiah, the Lord spoke through the prophet and said to the nation of Israel, I'm not going to listen to you. Now, this is a Reiner paraphrase. This isn't the exact quotation. But he said, your sins have separated you from me. They've put a hindrance between us. That I will not hear. Not that he cannot hear, but he will not hear. Take care of the sins, and I'm there for you. And he's saying here that if you are not willing to be forgiving, as I have forgiven you, you are standing there hypocritically asking for something. To ask God for some benefit when unwilling to be beneficial to others. Like a fig tree that's putting out leaves that has no fruit of benefit. It's simply hypocritical. It causes prayer to fail. Now sometimes, forgiveness cannot be transacted. I mentioned earlier these kids that did the vandalism. I can't forgive them until they come and seek forgiveness. But am I ready to forgive? That's the issue. And oh boy, am I ready to forgive. I am ready. I can't wait for the opportunity to share the forgiveness of God. That's what he's talking about here. If there's an unforgiving spirit within the heart of man, how in the world do you approach a God who has forgiven you? You can't do it. And God says, I'm not going to listen until you take care of that attitude. And once that happens, the tool works. It works perfectly. Oh, just one other thing that keeps prayer from working is when you don't use it. I had to slap myself on the head this morning. Sitting there, I had gotten up, had my breakfast, had my devotions. Well, part of my devotions anyway. Had gone through my message on prayer. And at the end of it, I said, oh my goodness, I didn't have my prayer time this morning. You idiot. How in the world are you going to stand in front of the congregation and encourage them to pray, and you didn't do it this morning? That hurt. It would have hurt more if I hadn't prayed. Sometimes we bring great hurt into our lives simply because we don't pray. We got a tool that can fix anything. Cordless, self-charging attachments for anything in a convenient carrying case, and we don't use it. Shame on us. Let's pray. Father, I think of the disciples who came to the Lord Jesus and with simple requests said, teach us to pray. Not how to pray, not when to pray, but simply to pray. For Lord, we have at our availability the greatest thing that enables us to accomplish your will in our lives. For we can come to a throne of grace and there meet with our Savior and obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We can find a God who answers according to a will that's perfect, with a power that is unstoppable, with a timing that is absolutely perfect, in a way that just magnifies how great our God is. And Lord, we confess that we are all too quick to look for something else in solving our problems and not trusting you. We recognize that's the way of the unsaved. The first 26 years of my life, Lord, I was looking to find some way how I could please you. not realizing that there was no way in and of myself. No matter how great my faith was in myself, I found I was a failure. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. But that Jesus Christ, your perfect Son, came to this earth and lived a perfect life and then went to the cross of Calvary and bore my sins as well as the sins of the whole world in His body and died. For the wages of sin is death. And there my punishment was borne by Him, that He died for me. And I came to faith and put my trust in Him, and I've been leaning on Him and trusting Him now for all these years. And I have always, always, always found Him faithful. And Lord, I pray if there's one in this congregation this morning who has never trusted the Lord Jesus, they're trusting in some merit of their own, some rite or ritual of a church, or just a God who is not a just God that just freely forgives without justice, that they might recognize that You are infinitely holy and yet at the same time infinitely loving to provide a Savior, Jesus Christ. That right here, right now, they just might call out in simple faith, Lord, here am I, a sinner, for whom Christ died, save me. And Lord, for every believer here that's here this morning, may we have the confidence, the assurance, how great a tool we have in calling upon a God who hears prayer and answers. And may we be found faithful using it. For Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.